You may have noticed that our songs have a theme, and we're talking about the goodness of God, the promises of God, the presence of God, God's protection, the comfort from God's word. And I wanted to sing songs that focused on those things because I can't help but think that as the Apostle Paul was languishing in prison, as he was waiting for court hearing after court hearing and hoping to get out for no crime, they had no crime to charge him with, that he had to really lean on the Lord, depend on God's promises, that God was in control, that God is in charge, that God does know what he's doing, and that God works all things out for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And as we continue our study in the book of Acts, today we're going to look at chapter 25, where once again Paul is standing before a Roman court and he's giving his defense. He actually doesn't get around to giving his defense until next Sunday, but he's ready to give his defense. And as we read these verses, and as we consider this passage, just put yourself in Paul's shoes, because we know the ending. We know what happens. We know that this is not even halfway through Paul's time in prison. He spends another 3 years in prison until finally he's taken out and executed anyway. And Paul's enemies are the unbelieving Jews of his day, who we've seen they get really riled up whenever Paul talks about being a messenger of God, a commission to take God's word to the Gentiles, any mention of taking God's word to the Gentiles, and the Jews just explode, because their idea is that salvation is for them only, that they're the only people that God has chosen. Everybody else is just out of luck, so to speak. And so when Paul says that he's commissioned to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, they want to kill him. In fact, they try to kill him. They've tried to kill him more than once, and we'll see that as we go through here. Now, Paul is actually fulfilling the great prediction, or the great prophecy, whatever you want to call it, that Jesus himself made about him when he called him to be an apostle. The Lord Jesus told Ananias, whom he sent to Paul to pray with him after his conversion on the road to Damascus, he said, "This man is a chosen servant unto me. I will send him to the Gentiles to stand before governors and kings, that he may bear my name before them as well as before the sons of Israel." And that's in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. In these next two chapters, chapters 25 and 26, we will see that prophecy fulfilled. First, Paul appears before a pagan Roman governor, the second such governor that he has appeared before, and this part of the story serves as an introduction to his appearance before King Agrippa, upon which Luke, who's the writer of the book of Acts, spends a lot of time focusing upon. So, like I mentioned, Paul was left languishing in prison. The governor at that time, whose name was Felix, who we saw in the last couple weeks, he would call on him from time to time and listen to him and probably ask him questions, but Luke tells us that he was hoping for a bribe. He was hoping that Paul would pay him some money and then release him, but Felix did not release him because he wanted to do a favor to the Jews. And so 2 years have passed. Paul has been held since that time. And the thing that gets me is that, as you think about this, is that Paul's enemies wanted him to be quiet. They just wanted to shut him down. And so they tried to kill him, and in order to save his life, the Roman guards intervened and took him to safety. And since that time, he's been held in Roman custody while they try to figure out who this guy is and what great crime has he done. But also, it appears that his enemies are winning. His enemies have him behind bars. They have him quieted down. He's no longer proclaiming to the masses. And eventually, he gets put to death just like they want him. So keep all of that in context as we go through this, because in the end, it looks like Paul's been defeated. But we know that he hasn't, because we know that God has prevailed and God has accomplished what he set out to accomplish in the life of the Apostle Paul. So let's begin at verse 27 in chapter 24. It says, "But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned." Chapter 25. "Festus, therefore, having arrived in the province 3 days later, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul, and they were urging him, requesting a concession against Paul, that he might have him brought to Jerusalem, at the same time setting an ambush to kill him on the way. And Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore, he said, let the influential men among you go there with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them prosecute him." So it's been 2 years, as verse 27 says, since Paul stood before Governor Felix. And now another man, Governor Festus, has taken Felix's place. And we don't know much about him from secular history other than that most historians record him to have been a just man. And he appears somewhat to be so in this passage. Somewhat, not totally. It's noteworthy here that the Jewish authorities waste no time when this man takes office. They immediately meet with him and they propose that he bring Paul up to Jerusalem to have him stand trial there. And they're also planning a plot against Paul to assassinate him along the way. And that's exactly what happened when Paul was taken down from Jerusalem to Caesarea back in chapter 23. Remember? 40 men took a vow to not to eat or drink anything until Paul died. And so they had this plan that they were going to request that they bring him down for another hearing, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the unbelievers of that day. And Paul's nephew overheard them scheming. And so his nephew, Paul's nephew, went to prison, told Paul the plan. Paul sent him to the commander, and then that night, the commander, with 270 armed men and horsemen, escorted Paul from Jerusalem down to Caesarea to where this trial was going to take place. So they spared Paul's life then. Now, perhaps it's these same 40 men, I don't know, or some of the 40. I've often wondered, as I'm sure you have, whatever happened to those 40 men who took that vow some 2.5 years earlier to neither eat or drink until they had killed Paul. They were either awful hungry, awful thirsty, or awful dead by now. One of them three. And probably some of those same people were involved in this plot. But, of course, it didn't happen. Festus is a Roman, the new governor. He's a Roman, and he is sold on the idea of Roman justice. The Romans took great pride in their justice system. And so he refuses to bring Paul up without at least having a chance to talk with him himself. So Luke now tells us how that hearing went. It says in verse 6, "After he had spent not more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he took his seat on the tribunal, the tribunal, and ordered Paul to be brought." This is Festus, verse 7. "And after he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove." I find it kind of humorous. Luke is the narrator. He's writing this, and he says the influential men came down. They brought these charges against him, in parentheses, by the way, which they could not prove.